The title of my sharing tonight is Two Parts of Salvation. I think all of you might agree with me on this, that God's greatest present to man is the salvation that He supplied us, all mankind, through the finished work of His Son, Jesus Christ. What Jesus Christ did and made available for each and every person on the face of this earth has got to be the peak, the magnitude, the height of God's love and grace and mercy. And when we really see the greatness of it, it's just too much to bear, I think, sometimes. Because God's love that He's extended to every single person through His Son, the sacrifice of His Son, and what it results in the life of each person that believes is just so phenomenal. When we look at this salvation, we really see that there are two aspects within this salvation. And I think we realize one aspect for sure, but tonight I'm concerned about the other aspect that sometimes we forget. I know we've heard about it, but I think we have not really grasped the greatness of what is available for us to walk in God's deliverance. Now, I get it. The main part of salvation is God's wonderful forgiveness for our sins. You know, His Son died for us, and He raised Him from the dead so that we could be redeemed, right? Our sins are washed away. We are pure before our Heavenly Father because of Jesus Christ. We have His righteousness. We have Christ in us. We have all the wonderful sonship rights that God's Word talks about. And we believe that. We embrace that. We accept that. And we rejoice in the freedoms that we have, that we are not looked upon as sinners, you know, as slaves of God, but He looks upon us with great grace and favor, doesn't He? Because it's not about sin, it's about who we are in Christ. And so we can have great expectations in our relationship with Him. It's all about the relationship, right? We're His children. 1 John 1:7 says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from how much sin?
All
sin." So I think we get this. I think we understand this. But there's a second part of the salvation in Christ that we, I think, miss sometimes. I know for me, I've had to kind of renew my mind and get my thinking back to what this is. I know the old bird, the adversary, has been working overtime to hold us back from this other aspect of our salvation. Most believers have little trouble accepting God forgiving them their sins. And that has indeed been a wonderful truth for us. However, many of the same Christians struggle to really believe that God will heal them. And that is the second part of our salvation. Mm-hmm. You know, we have God's physical healing through the broken body of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Think about it. The communion service. The communion service is to get us to remember what Jesus Christ did for our salvation. How many parts are there to it? Two parts. The blood, right? The shed blood represents the remission of sins. But what is that little wafer for? The broken body. And by that broken body, we have physical healing. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And I want you to see this tonight, so that you can walk in the great physical deliverance that is ours through Christ. So in verse 1, Matthew 9, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city, Jesus Christ, right? And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, wait a minute. He had a physical need, right? Mm-hmm. But Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think you evil in your hearts? For whether is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? Mm-hmm. Evidently, Jesus, as he ministers individually. I don't think you can see any kind of pat method to his means of ministering healing. Seems something different, unique with each one, right? The lady touches the hem of his garment. How he responds to that is different than what he responds here. But in this, he told the man that your sins be forgiven, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then said he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. That man got delivered, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He got delivered. There was a forgiveness of sins, and there was a physical healing that he experienced. And verse 8 says, but when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. What a great power that is. In this case, there must have been an issue of sin that held this man back. Perhaps he did not feel worthy enough to receive his healing. So for Jesus to bring it up and deal with it gave that man what he needed to believe and receive his healing. God's intent with salvation of man was that not only would man be dealing with the sin issue, but also the physical condition that we are confronted with. Our Heavenly Father was and is concerned about all aspects of our life. Not only our spiritual relationship, our sins are forgiving, we are righteous before God, but our physical life too. He wants us physically healed and delivered and to walk healthy. So for me, I think this salvation is what I call a twofer. You know, a twofer. You buy one ticket and you get two benefits from it. And sometimes, I don't know if you've experienced this or not, but there have been times where I'll buy a ticket, and maybe it's we're going to SeaWorld or the zoo or something, and this ticket lets you do the rides, and it lets you do this and that, and you get in the door, and so you do these things, and then you leave, and then you find out, hey, wait a minute, it says on here that I get a free lunch with this ticket. Well, I couldn't receive that lunch because I didn't know, and so I didn't get my twofer. I just got in the door and had the other benefits. And I think this is what's happened in our times for Christians today. They don't remember that they have physical healing in their salvation. And so if we have a physical opportunity, we should jump right onto it because the price has been paid, right? The blood of Jesus Christ cleansed us, and by his stripes we are what?
Healed.
That's it. Boy, oh boy. So I know for me, I got to rise up in my thinking, my believing. So if something gets me physically, I can take care of business. Let's go to Isaiah 53. There's a great revelation here. hundreds, many hundreds of years prior to Jesus Christ's life, where it was prophesied what the Messiah would do and what his purpose was. In Isaiah 53, verse 3, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." This is the prophecy of the coming Messiah, said many hundreds of years before that time. Verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are what?
Healed.
Boy, this is what this wonderful salvation that Jesus Christ would make available for us. By his stripes we are healed. Isn't that neat? Go to 1 Peter. Go all the way back to the backside of the Bible there in 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll see this great truth. In chapter 2 of 1 Peter verse 24, it says, "Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree." Jesus Christ, he bore our sins on the tree, "that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness." Okay, we receive the righteousness of God because of what Jesus Christ did. Now, is that the end of the verse?
No.
What does it say? "By whose stripes you were healed." Well, that's got to be there for a reason, and a very good one, because we have a physical body that gets beat up, doesn't it? Yeah. And so God took care of us all the way around, spirit, soul, and body. Isn't that a great God, that he would do that? Man, oh man, we are just so, so blessed. You see, the clear and vital message for us is that Jesus dealt both with the sin and the sickness on the cross. Our sins were laid upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. Healing is just as much a part of the atonement as is forgiveness of sins. God wants us to have a clear conscience and a sound body, right?
Right?
Yeah. And I shared with you about the communion service, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the shed blood, the wine, and then the little wafer, the broken body. Boy, we should remember if we partake of the communion that that little wafer, that broken bread, represents our physical wholeness and healing. So, we just want to remember these great truths. Let's go to Luke, if you would. Luke chapter 9. And we're going to look at two different times that Jesus Christ sent out his followers, different groups. We'll see how he figured this out. And let's see what he wanted them to do. So Luke chapter 9, verse 1. "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God." All right, the kingdom of God. And is that it?
No.
No. "And to heal the sick." He was concerned not only for their salvation, that they would learn the kingdom of God, but they would be healed as well. In verse 6, it says, "And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." That's it. See, God's interested in the whole man, the full man and woman, that they would be delivered all the way through, spiritually, soul-wise, and physically as well. Now, let's go to chapter 10. Go to the next chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed others 70 also. So how many did he send out the first time?
12.
Sent out the 12. Now he's sending out 70. Let's see what he wants them to do. And sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. And what were they to do? Verse 9. Go down to verse 9. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So it was about healing the sick and teaching the kingdom of God. And now think about this. In the book of Acts, when the new birth came about, right, for the first time on the day of Pentecost, what happened after that? What happened? What was the great next event was that at the temple gate, the lame man at the temple gate, Acts 3. And what were they concerned about him? Just getting him born again and that's it? Going on and talking the word to somebody? No, they were interested in his physical body. Isn't he the one that leaping and praising God? They wrote a song about him or something, didn't they? But, yeah. The healing was a big part of the outreach. In Acts 4, I'll read these verses to you, verses 29 and 30. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal. And that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. So you see, when you really think about your salvation, it's more than just your getting born again or saved, getting into heaven, your sins forgiven. It's about your physical healing as well. And so my encouragement for you tonight is to claim your healing. If you've got some kind of physical need, then why not confess the truth of God's word? It's been done. The cost has been paid, right? So if something's paid for, there it is. You cash in on it. Claim your healing now in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? And I believe tonight there's going to be people getting great deliverance. And I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we claim what you made available through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you made available physical healing, that we can claim healing, Father, anytime we need it, because it's been paid for. So I just lift each and every person that's part of this fellowship tonight. There's any need of healing, deliverance, that they receive it now in the name of Jesus Christ, because that's the name above all names. And that's the name we use to cash in on that ticket, Father, because the price has been paid through him. So I just thank you, Father, for the great deliverance you made available in the salvation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.